You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Today has certainly been an eventful one, which saw former Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn suspended from the party after he commented on the Equalities and Human Rights Commission report into anti-Semitism and Labour. Now, James, starts off as a lot of people saying that perhaps Corbyn walked into Starmer's trap here a bit today by releasing his statement, which saw him get suspended. Do you buy into that?
I think the statement was very Jeremy Corbyn, but also very ill-judged. It contained no apology for what had happened, and I think it did seek to downplay what had gone on and suggested that some people had used the issue of anti-Semitism as a kind of political weapon against the Labour Party. I think given that Keir Starmer had said that those people who were trying to downplay the problem were part of the problem, it put Keir Starmer in a very difficult position. Now, Labour are very keen to stress that this wasn't Keir Starmer's decision, because that would be the kind of political interference in the process that the EHRC report is criticising. They're saying it's a decision taken by Labour HQ. But I think what it does do is Keir Starmer has been desperately trying to say to the electorate that Labour is under new management. You know, every time he speaks almost there's a sign saying new leadership. And at conference he was really quite critical implicitly of the Corbyn era in what he said. This has dramatised that fight. I think this is a way of trying to say to the electorate, this is a very different Labour Party now. I think the question now is, what does Jeremy Corbyn do and what do his allies do? Jeremy Corbyn has expressed kind of bafflement at the decision to suspend him and said he's going to fight it. But interestingly, what we haven't yet seen is any Labour MPs giving up the whip in solidarity with Jeremy Corbyn. That is one of the dogs that hasn't yet barked. And I think we wait to see how this plays out within the Labour factional process. But this is undoubtedly a big moment for Labour in trying to move on from the Corbyn era. And I think it will be interesting to see whether they are able to do that.
Katie, how likely it is do you think that we're heading for that kind of civil war with the left of the party? Or,
well, I think it's clear from, you know, ever since that decision was taken, that large parts of the left of the Labour Party are not happy. I think the question is, what power do they have? What effect can they have? And how much pressure can they put on Keir Starmer? I think that if you were going to distance yourself from Jeremy Corbyn today in terms of the report by the Equalities Watchdog, gives you as much cover as you could possibly have. But we're hearing, obviously, in terms of John McDonnell speaking out and other figures, that it's creating some disquiet. Now, there's questions as to if you're suspended, you know, what is the difference between suspended and expelled? I think that there is potential for this story to die down, but also for it to become a bigger deal further still. So I think there's still plenty of unknowns on it. I do think that we saw in the Labour leadership election that the Corbynite faction of the party is not so powerful that they could, you know, get their Corbyn successor to be leader. That didn't happen. You didn't get Rebecca Long-Bailey, you got Keir Starmer. I still think, though, there is a sizable chunk on the left of the party who have enough power in terms of membership, in terms of conference motions, to cause Keir Starmer a problem. I think anti-Semitism is not going to be the issue which all are the most fussed about, but it does add to this picture if people think Jeremy Corbyn was treated unfairly, that Keir Starmer could potentially be a bit slippery. If you look at the fact that, you know, I think he is seen in some quarters as playing up his left-wing credentials in that leadership election, saying that, you know, he supported Jeremy Corbyn. I think in his leadership video he had a picture of them hugging, embracing. So I think that even if you accept the report's findings and think that what Jeremy Corbyn said in his statement meant that he had to be suspended, I still think there's a bigger narrative it could play into.
And do you think there's going to be consequences for Labour's relationship with the unions as well, James, maybe? I know that they've generally been a bit more supportive of the sort of the Corbyn dynasty.
I think Katie is right that because the issue here is anti-Semitism, and I think it is very hard to read this report and not think that something went very, very wrong in the Labour Party. But I think people won't be kind of wanting to dash out and make that the big issue. I think in a way, one of the remarkable things about Keir Starmer's leadership is, as you say, Katie, if you watch that first launch video for him, he really was running as a kind of as for the Corbyn policies, but without Corbyn the person. He is now not. He is moving the Labour Party at speed. And I thought as an interesting dynamic of this was, but that conference speech, which was, you know, such a repudiation of so many bits of the Corbyn era, you know, would have been quite a dangerous speech, I think, to have delivered to a packed conference hall because of the risk that people just, you know, walked out, booed it, objected. Because it was empty, he was literally speaking to a kind of an empty room. Yeah. It worked. But I think this is the other interesting question about this right now is Keir Starmer tends to have a lead on the best prime minister question, while Labour tend to be behind in the polls. And I think that is one of the things that is emboldening them to make so clear this break, because it is quite clear that the Corbyn era is still a drag on Labour's electoral performance. And I mean, that's why Keir Starmer, you know, look at that last Labour Party political broadcast. It was the most explicitly patriotic Labour broadcast since Peter Mandelson got a bulldog on into one of Labour's ones in 1997 and said that represented the British people and New Labour. And so, I mean, you can constantly see these attempts to show that this is not Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party anymore. Today's events are obviously the most dramatic statement that you could have, that this isn't Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party anymore because it's a party that's just suspended him.
And going back to slightly earlier in the day, Katie, to the actual report itself, it had quite some damning findings. I think it said that Labour had broken the law when it came to the equality law and there'd been political interference in the in anti-Semitism cases. What kind of impact do you think that report's going to have on the Labour Party more generally?
Well, I think what's interesting was Keir Starmer accepted all the report's recommendations and findings. And now, as you say, the story has moved ultimately to Jeremy Corbyn. But in terms of the report, I think that, I mean, it found that the Equalities Watchdog found that Labour had broken or breached the Equality Act in three different ways. I think that if you look at how they dealt with complaints, I think it's over 20 times that they felt Jeremy Corbyn's office personally intervened in complaints in a way that wasn't acceptable. And also in terms of harassment on people who made complaints, the case of Ken Livingstone was specifically named. So, I mean, I think that this report has been hanging over the Labour Party for some time. When we've spoken to politicians within the Labour Party, it's loomed. And I think the fact that it's now done, if they can draw a line over it, then I think that is something that will be welcomed by the party. I think what's quite interesting is one of the things, which I think if you're looking at the Corbynites trying to find a positive side to this report, is in the build-up to the report, you had lots of people, including some Labour MPs, saying they thought it could be found that the Labour Party is institutionally anti-Semitic. Now, that is not in the report. So I think if you look online and you are looking at certain accounts, one of the quick things is, why is no one covering that Labour has been found that it is not institutionally anti-Semitic or institutionally racist, depending how you want to phrase it. But actually, I think if you look at what the body has said on that, it's just that that is not a phrase they would use. So I don't think it's the same thing as being cleared of it altogether. But I think it does show you, I mean, it's broadly speaking obviously a very bad report for them, but you can see there's already an attempt to say, actually, this could be worse than it is.
There's also been some rather dreadful news today, James, from over in France with two terrorist attacks over there, one foiled. Emmanuel Macron spoke about the dangers of radical Islamism. Do you think Britain has sort of given enough support to France over this?
I think there is an interesting... I think that's a very good question. You look at this dispute, this Turkish boycott of French goods that President Erdogan has instigated. And I think it is an interesting question about whether the UK should be expressing more solidarity with France. I think there is also certainly a sense as well that some of the things that Erdogan is saying, suggesting the position of Muslims in Europe today is akin to that of Jews in Europe in the 1930s. To compare modern-day France to the situation in Nazi Germany, I think is totally absurd. I think there is also an element to which it does contribute to a grievance culture, which can lead to the kind of awful violence that we saw today. And I think that I personally think that there should be more condemnation of Erdogan for what he is saying and for how he is behaving. And I think we should be clearer that we are against, you know, any kind of boycott of French goods because of what Emmanuel Macron says about the French tradition of secularism. But I also think that I think one of the most remarkable things about France is it keeps going through these terrible terrorist incidents. You think not only of the Bataclan attack, but the murder of a priest in that church in Normandy a few years back, the murder of Samuel Paty, a teacher, just a few days ago. And yet France seems to still stick true to those, to those values of liberté, égalité and fraternité. And I think there is something remarkable about the ability of French society to absorb this. And I think we should be clearer in condemning the kind of irresponsible language used by the president of Turkey.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening. And we're really keen to hear your feedback on all our podcasts. And we're currently running a survey at spectator.co.uk/podcast survey. If you enter and give your thoughts, you'll win a chance to win a bottle of Paul Roger. That's spectator.co.uk/podcast survey.